flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Ah, can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Howard out of the shotgun, back to pass at his own 25. He'll gun that deep down the right side, and it is caught by Jeremiah Smith at the 30 of Notre Dame. He's taken to the Fighting Irish 10-yard line by cornerback Christian Gray. Howard to Smith, getting the Buckeyes in the Giant Eagle red zone.
All right, there you had it. Paul Keels on Learfield. That was the play of this game because it finally sealed it for Ohio State. Perloff, they had not gone to Jeremiah Smith in the entire second half, and then there he is, Johnny on the spot when they needed him. Single coverage, tested him on a 3rd and 11. He comes up with a massive, massive catch. And the Notre Dame comeback, as furious as it was, was snuffed out.
Yeah, the Notre Dame comeback that existed because they didn't throw that ball 6 times earlier to Jeremiah Smith. It's like having like a mid-career Julio Jones playing against college guys, and they did not use him, which is insane.
Yeah.
I know Ryan Day hit his first 15 passes, but were they all like 4 yards each? Yeah, not Ryan Day.
Will Howard. Yeah, he came out slinging.
Slinging. No. Slinging means throwing downfield. Like, what was that? Screen pass. They basically, Notre Dame took a 10-minute drive of all run plays, and Ohio State's like, well, we're going to match that energy. And that's, I was frustrated because I wanted to see a more wide-open game, but I guess I shouldn't have wanted that.
Well, listen, it looked like Ohio State was going to run away with it. So, yeah, they got really conservative on offense, and Notre Dame got what they needed, which was finally got a fumble. That kind of, they were able to score off of that, which turned the tide. You know, here's the thing. If you're talking about the biggest winners and losers from the game last night, obviously Ohio State won. We know the team won. But if you're talking about individual winners and losers, I think Will Howard did himself a lot of favors in this run.
Yeah. Because last night, I think, what do you have, 230 yards?
Yeah, but we're just highlighting that play to Jeremiah Smith, and it was beautiful. I mean, if they had let him throw more, I think we would have really seen a lot more from Howard.
He missed a wide open Carnell Tate on the 2 deep passes. One, he missed them, and one, he hit him.
He was the best quarterback in the tournament, and I think that probably bodes really well for him. I don't think a lot of people were very impressed with Chip Kelly. Chip Kelly, the former NFL and Oregon and UCLA head coach, who, yes, they win the title, but I think a lot of people believe that Chip Kelly was way too conservative, had a terrible game plan against Michigan, and where Ryan Day, I think, gets off the hot seat, if that's possible with this Ohio State fan base that seems to hate his guts or looking for a reason to run him out of town, I don't think Chip Kelly did himself a lot of favors here.
I think there's a disconnect between the football. This is just an imagine because I'm not inside. I think the inside football world respects Chip Kelly a lot more. I think the football people are like, ooh, he played a smart game last night. Fans, we hate it. Fans do not want to see you hand off 40 times against Michigan. But I think football people like that kind of, they call that winning football.
But is that playing the result? Because you also have.
I'm mad at Chip Kelly all the time. But I know like NFL teams think Chip Kelly is still the man. Like, okay, he's very popular.
Why isn't he back in the NFL? Well, and I don't think this is going to catapult him to a head coaching job, of which there are usually 7 to 8 openings in every offseason. And I haven't heard Chip Kelly's name in years.
Yeah, no, but I think he's in the mix for a lot of OC jobs. Like, he has been.
But that's a demotion.
Right, no, he's not getting a head coach. Chip Kelly, there's no way he's getting it. He was, did you see the UCLA era? There's no way he's getting a head coaching job in the NFL. Well, but, I mean, he might get an OC job in the NFL. Because I think that's what people think he's good at. I don't think that they think he's meant to be a CEO, the kind of CEO you need in the NFL. But I don't think the league has given up on Chip Kelly at all. I think that he'll be back.
There was a bit of a rumor that maybe the Patriots would be looking at Chip Kelly. And Mike Vrabel might want to bring him in as an offensive coordinator. But I think fans might be frustrated if he's calling the same type of game plans for Drake May, who's got a cannon for an arm and is a just super, super talent. You got to showcase that.
Yeah, but you hired Mike Vrabel. Well, you better understand that you're not going to see Drake May throw the ball 40 times a game.
There's another sort of two different lenses you can look at this college football playoff. Now, winners and losers are part of it. I think Will Howard becomes a big winner here. I think that Chip Kelly, not so much, but maybe you're right about that playoff. Maybe inside football, people love him. I think that Marcus Freeman has become a winner this whole time. I didn't love last night. They were definitely shorthanded.
Tell me what you didn't love about what his job last night.
Well, I mean, at some point you saw Jaden Greathouse when they were trying to make this comeback. Yeah. He scored two touchdowns, and you actually saw his talent throughout this 12-team tournament. I don't understand why they could not find a way to get the ball to him a lot earlier. Like, did you really have to go down three scores before you realize you had to actually to run? And Marcus Freeman even said afterwards, we can't just be running QB sneaks and expect to win this game. But it felt like for at least 2.5 quarters, that's what they were doing. They felt like the QB sneak was going to keep them in it, and that never was the case.
Yeah, I totally agree. They were way too conservative. It was ridiculous, as a matter of fact. And the first time, it was what happened was that first drive was so good, they kept going back to that. Well, actually, they went back to it a few times. They were having trouble getting Ohio State off the field. That was another problem.
Mm-hmm.
It just, the whole game flow was against them. But then they're down 31-7, and they spread it out. But even when they spread out, they're like, oh, they're moving so slow. Oh, gosh, Riley Leonard just took another sack. I got to tell you right now, do not blame his line for some of those sacks. Like, Riley Leonard, it's not great at scanning the field and seeing receivers. So I think that they understood the limitations of the offense. I thought you were talking about the field goal.
Okay, so that was another controversial decision. So the Irish are down 16, okay, and we're in the fourth quarter, about midway through the fourth quarter, and the Irish get down. They've got a third and goal. Excuse me, it would have been fourth and goal at the 9, and they decide to kick a field goal that would have still made it a two-score game instead of 16 points, obviously. You would have been down 13. And Marcus Freeman, actually, we have the clip here, Manny. Can I hear cut 15, please? Marcus Freeman on his decision to kick the field goal when you're down 16, would have cut it to 13, do the math, carry the 1, still a two-score game.
I think it was 4th and 9 or 10. And I just thought, you know, instead of being down 16, let's try to go down 13. And I know it's still a two-score game, but you have a better probability of getting 14 points and you do 16 points. And so if it was a shorter fourth and goal situation, I probably would have gone for it, but I just felt 4th and 9 was not a great chance for us to make that. And, you know, and decided to kick it and we didn't make it.
Yeah. So that's the PS. They actually doinked the field goal. The field goal has been an issue. That special teams has been an issue. That part of special teams for the entire season. And I know that it doesn't make sense when you talk about the math, but I totally get what he was going for there.
Well, it actually, the way the game played out, they did make the two-point conversion, but it kind of worked out. If they hadn't hit that big pass to Jeremiah Smith, say for some reason Will Howard just a little bit off throwing it, or Jeremiah Smith bobbled it, then Notre Dame would have had the ball back with a chance to score down 8. It would have been a lot nicer to have been down 6.
Yep, I get it. That's why I'm saying I can't really crush him for that decision necessarily. I know it was still a two-score game.
I was crushing him at the time. I'm like, dude, what are you, crazy? What are you doing?
There was no one alive who thought that Notre Dame was going to convert that 4th and 9.
Fourth
and goal from the 9 or 10.
Except that I didn't think they were going to score those two touchdowns. I mean, they got a huge pass interference call that kept them alive, honestly. And then the thing about Notre Dame, all these explosive plays they've had in this tournament, the unusual ones, like, they're just the craziest plays. Like, Riley Leonard will throw downfield and go in a window that's about 3 inches wide, and Greathouse will catch it, and it's just, They are a miracle team. I hate to say it. So maybe they had a miracle on 4th and 9.
Yeah, it didn't seem like it, but
did it seem like when they were down 31-7 that they were going to have 2 passing touchdowns in that game?
No, but somewhere, you know, a Baltimore Ravens fan has a single tear rolling down their cheek because trying to convert 2 touchdowns and 2 2-point conversions is not easy.
Yeah, but imagine trying to convert 3.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So it's you kind of understood where he was kicking the field goal, even though, again, it didn't change the fact that they still needed 2 scores.
I think Marcus Freeman is still red hot as a coaching guy. I mean, I think Notre Dame's going to be really good next year, probably maybe better than this year because of the they were hurt by the end of the year.
Yep.
So he's very likable. He's obviously quite handsome, as we keep pointing out. I think Marcus Freeman is going to basically be able to write his own ticket. If he wants to go to the NFL, then that's his. If Ryan Day ever leaves, Ohio State's his. I think Marcus Freeman's in a good spot.
Right, so Freeman played football at Ohio State, so he's got that in his resume. Here is Freeman saying Notre Dame is headed in the right direction.
Told these guys they've left this program better. I don't care if you're here for 1 year or you've been here for 6 years. Our program is in a better place because of the examples these two have set and many other leaders in that locker room. So the outlook of Notre Dame football is extremely high.
Yeah, also take that, Chip Kelly. Or not Chip Kelly, Brian Kelly. Take that, Brian Kelly.
Yeah.
We've been talking about Chip Kelly, the offensive coordinator for Ohio State. But so here's,
I'm here with my family.
Here's the thing about Notre Dame. You know, I'm curious to see what tweaks they make to the college football playoff format because, as we've talked about, Perloff, this sets up really well for Notre Dame year after year after year. Now, the problem is you're not going to get a bye if they keep conference champions getting an automatic bye, but at least in the first season of the college football playoff, that didn't matter. And in fact, it was the opposite. Every team that had a bye got bounced in their first game.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it doesn't matter that Notre Dame can get a bye or not get a bye. It's just if there's 12 teams, there's going to be, it looks like there's going to be so much parity that it's pretty much anyone's tournament. Well, not anyone's, at least like the 7 or 8 teams, depending. Matchups are huge. It's like that is incredibly important because I don't think, you know, as I said and other people have said, I think our buddy Andy Staples said this, like this is the last of a breed with Ohio State. This is it feels like a pre-NIL team because you can't stack 5 stars. I think they have 5 5-star receivers on that team.
Crazy.
That's never, ever going to happen again. I don't even know why it's happening there. They had to pay through the roof to make that happen. So I think that next year it's going to be a very parity-oriented 12-team playoff. I think it's going to be crazy.
Can I say something about last night's game? I think it was very important for Notre Dame not to get blown out. It looked like they were about to get really boat raced, and I think it was very important for them to make this a game. Now, the outcome didn't change.
Why?
Second place, first loser, you know. But I think that there was the last time we saw Notre Dame in the national championship game, it was an embarrassment. And I think they were on their way to getting embarrassed again. And there's a different calculus with Notre Dame in terms of national championships. Like, the Ohio State, everyone's so, you know, beside themselves if you're not playing for the championship. I think people in Notre Dame, even though it's one of the most storied, if not the most storied college football program that we have, I think people were excited to be there. And I don't think every year people are going in saying, man, Notre Dame better win the championship this year, else Marcus Freeman's going to be out on his butt. No one's saying that. It's a different calculus.
But if they had gotten blown out, I'm not sure what difference it would make. Like, isn't the point to win the game? And honestly, like, yeah, that team was probably, if you actually pull back, that team was probably just as good as this team.
The Manti Te'o team?
Yeah, the Manti Te'o team that lost to Alabama. Like, they're quite similar teams. You had the vibe. If it looked like last time was going to be a blowout, that was more a function of Ohio State's coaching staff than anything. Like, Notre Dame was not talent-wise, especially with the, as I keep saying, with the injuries, like, they had no right to be on that field. It didn't feel that different than the Manti Te'o team to me. Did it feel like, was this team better?
I mean, I watched this team beat Georgia. I watched this team beat Penn State.
Backup quarterback, Penn
but
State.
Still, I mean, Georgia still won the SEC.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like the Manti Te'o team could have beat those teams. For sure.
855-212-4227. We're also asking you today about Ohio State and how likable they are. We had this discussion about Notre Dame not too long ago, about how Notre Dame feels more likable underdogs, less people casual, maybe people who don't have a rooting interest for getting on the Notre Dame bandwagon. I didn't realize the vitriol towards Ohio State. I work in this industry, and I didn't think it was to the level that we're seeing today.
Oh, my God. My Twitter feed was filled with anti-Ohio State stuff all day yesterday. People don't like, they're cocky.
But who isn't? We like that with teams. Do you think the Kansas City Chiefs aren't cocky? You didn't think the Patriots were cocky? Right.
Chiefs are lovable.
I think Big Dave made a good point earlier, too, that there's an aspect of them being cocky and arrogant without the titles or, you know, wins to really back up the arrogance. They're not Alabama. In terms of national titles. But they act like they are. Like, I think that's part of it. Like, third national title in 20 years? Like, it's not, you would think they've won 10 with the way they talk about themselves. I think that is a big part of it, too. There's also, it's so small, but a lot of Ohio State quarterbacks come to the NFL and they stink. Like, that probably turned off a lot of fan bases around the NFL. Probably, like, these Ohio State guys are bums. Like,
those are urban guys, yeah.
No, yeah, I think there's some of that, too, that affects the perception of them.
I don't know. I think it's also part of Michigan. Like, Michigan, Ohio State's not that different than Michigan. I have a lot of friends who go to both colleges, and, like, they're both, you know, they consider themselves, well, Ohio State considers them absolutely equals to Michigan. As far as, like, you say the Michigan man, like, the Ohio State fraternity is annoying. I don't know if anyone else out there has friends who went to Ohio State because it's such a big school. It's a very popular school where I'm from Philadelphia. So, like, the Ohio State fans are definitely, like, they let you know.
Okay.
You know who they are. Yeah, they have a Yankees feel about them. I think maybe it's LeBron. But I think
we had a caller earlier who was really who said one of the biggest issues they have with Ohio State is the fact that LeBron James was there rooting him on. Like, LeBron criticized
him
that's
for gonna
all
help?
Of, but criticize him for all of his bandwagon, the Yankees, whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, the dude's from Ohio. He's repping the state university from Ohio. Like, you gotta find you like miss well, me that with that mean, one. This well, one he totally
does that
deserves.
Mean you give Drake
right
a pass
to.
On the Raptors? Like, at a certain point,
kind
like, you lose all of it.
I don't know. LeBron's been pretty steadfast here with the Buckeyes. Like, this is his team, guys. He's allowed to go root them on.
It felt a little bit like, look at me. I think that's the issue.
And it wasn't. It was the camera. He was the one guy in key moments they would find. Yeah. It felt look at me because they were looking at him. Yeah. it was like, he was like the Taylor Swift of this game.
Yeah, I don't think I think he genuinely wanted to be there as a fan. I don't think he got there because he's like, oh, man, there's going to be a lot of cameras at this game.
Yeah, of course. All you're saying,
he's in the middle of his season.
You say that you work in this industry, you didn't know about the antipathy towards Ohio State. If you live in America, you must know about the antipathy towards LeBron James.
I do understand that.
So do you understand? Like, there's no logic here. People dislike LeBron.
But I don't think this one is warranted. Like, I don't think this one is earned.
Well, it doesn't matter if it's warranted. Most of it is not warranted.
Right, but I can understand. Listen, you talk politics right or left, you're going to turn people off. I understand you think you're a Cleveland fan, you're wearing a Yankee hat, Dallas Cowboys, is it the Cleveland Browns? You want to nitpick that he lied about seeing The Godfather. Okay, whatever. You want to, you know, that he left Cleveland, that he came back. This one he's been very consistent on.
Right,
this
but it doesn't
one
matter.
He doesn't deserve criticism for.
No,
he's
I
been
understand.
A Buckeye fan.
The thing with LeBron James, like, the criticism and what deserved criticisms are, that's long gone. He gets criticized now. There's just people who don't like anything about him.
Mm.
Okay. Maybe it started with the politics. I mean, obviously the Bronny thing is not helping.
I think it started with, well, now we're just talking about LeBron.
Yeah, yeah,
I think it started with the Jordan stuff and
the decision.
The decision was wildly.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, like, it's not like you don't look at it piecemeal. Like, you don't look at last night and be like, well, this one's okay because he's from Akron. Like, I don't think the average fan is viewing it that way.
I don't know. If you're okay with McConaughey on the sideline.
No. See, McConaughey's in every game. Like, he's basically part of the team. Right. I think he calls some plays.
No, he's like their head of culture, which also sounds dumb.
Now you're going after McConaughey as a Texas fan?
Then. Yes. But I don't know why. Because McConaughey doesn't have a steady job. He's an actor. He can take jobs whenever he wants to. He can be at every Texas game. LeBron has a full-time job. He's got to play for the Lakers 82 games a season.
Yeah,
you can't just follow around so Ohio State plays Nebraska and he can be there.
But take LeBron out of this. Why do you not like Matthew McConaughey's Texas fan?
I'm just saying it's the same. He's a celebrity
you just
fan.
Said I don't like enough with McConaughey. I'm saying, like, that is one of the most likable fandoms out there.
What I was meant by enough with saying it's okay for this guy and not okay for this guy. You, if you don't like celebrity fans, don't like them. If you like you're just going to pick and choose who you like?
I think there's a front-runner aspect to LeBron, too. It feels like McConaughey, whether Texas is bad or good, he's talking about him. It feels like LeBron only shows up when Ohio State is good or they're about to win a title. And there's some of that, whether you're a real fan or not, I think that also, that's why I said it feels like a look at me. Like I do want to be seen as with these guys who are going to win a championship. I think there's a part of that that also annoys people.
I relate to that because I'm a bandwagon fan who says, look at me too. Yeah.
Perloff will find his camera.
Yeah, but to say that McConaughey and LeBron are same is utterly ridiculous. There's no other college football celebrity fan like Matthew McConaughey and Bradley Cooper with the Eagles. Like the two of them are superior.
Listen, how about this? Let's put a microphone in front of Matthew McConaughey's face 150 times a year. Interview him about every single thing that's going on in this country, in the world. Let's ask him about production companies that have financed his films and other relationships that they have. And, you know, he might not be that likable either. Like celebrities like McConaughey, you know, LeBron's just a lot more out there. We know a lot more about him. You know, McConaughey, what, wrote a book like that no one read? Come on.
First of all, that's insane. That was a huge bestseller. And
okay,
secondly,
it was a motivational book about green lights.
McConaughey was talked about as a presidential candidate. Like, he's the most out there actor there is.
But
he's the most visible. Like, he's on my TV more than LeBron.
Yeah, in a Cadillac commercial.
He's hugely political.
No, but you get to cultivate a lot more of your image in the way that you want to. When you're an actor versus an athlete.
Yeah, but regardless, like, he's a legit Texas fan. He's there every game, almost. And also, not only is he there, like, he's so involved in the team. You know, he talks to the team all the time. I honestly think he gets a little involved in strategy, which he probably should not. All right. We're going to run the hook and ladder.
All right.
Manny, you have a good fake of Matthew McConaughey.
That's all I can do.
In the Uber Eats commercial.
That's all I can do. Oh, Jerry's eating rice.
I mean, how could you not like that guy?
I turned around.
Because remember, I crushed McConaughey a couple weeks ago. But you know what? I saw a picture of him yesterday, random old picture of him at a practice of Texas with Ricky Williams. I was like, wow, this goes back that far, his fandom? I was all right. Respect. I take back everything I said about McConaughey. That's a real fan.
Okay, yeah. You don't think that there's a picture somewhere of LeBron James with Eddie George? I bet I could find it. You're that impressed?
Well, yeah.
I mean, LeBron doesn't have time to be like McConaughey.
Thank you. Yeah.
But McConaughey's a much more diehard. Like, McConaughey went to Texas. Like, it's totally different. Like, LeBron didn't go to Ohio State.
Because LeBron didn't go anywhere because he was the number one pick in the draft.
And we all know he was not going to Ohio State, no matter what he says. He was definitely going to Duke.
Well, whatever. He was there.
He was literally, I'm sure, even if we want him or not, he was going to Duke.
855-212-4227.
It's a huge difference between LeBron and Ohio State. I mean, put it out there as a poll. Like, we don't even need to. There's nobody except Maggie who thinks those are same.
I don't get LeBron getting the hate for this one. And it was our first call of the day. You know what? I really didn't like that LeBron James. Like, what? That's what you took away from that?
That hat was so red and that Ohio State logo was so huge on the hat too. I was just like, wow.
What else were you going to take away from that game? It's like, oh God, is Notre Dame, are they just going to run the clock out and just go down 31-7? Oh, Ohio State fell asleep. We'll take some easy plays. It wasn't like, those are the fun things of a national title game.
855-212-4227. Was this the most impressive or least impressive run to a title? I think most impressive for Ohio State because of the 12-team playoff, who they had to get through after they lost to Michigan. This was season was dark. Definitely a black cloud. Yeah. You think it was least impressive?
Well, I don't speak in hyperboles. I think there's been 100 national title games, and it never dawned on me that it was on one spectrum or the other, where it was the absolute worst or the absolute best. So don't say I thought it was the least impressive run to the national title. It was a run to the national title. Your reasoning is very interesting. Like, you have a whole system here about the 12-team playoff. But I think it's flawed because guess what? Next year's team's going to have to run through a 12-team playoff. It's probably going to be harder.
Yesterday, was this yesterday or was it Sunday? A major gaffe. This one was embarrassing. Do we have sympathy for this person or no sympathy for this person? We will play the audio for you next, and you be the judge. It's M&P.
Jerry's eating rice.
Welcome back. Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff.
Oh, I thought a little miscommunication.
That's
there.
Okay. Welcome back to the show. So we've been talking a lot about Ohio State, and congratulations. Buckeyes are the national champions, although it feels like they're getting a little backlash here. There's not really a lot of love for Ohio State outside of the state of Ohio. And we're asking you, love or hate Ohio State? And also, was this an impressive run to the title?
Yeah, if you're not an Ohio State fan, it just feels like a team to me that general fans do not pick up. For some reason, I think that there's definitely like a little bit of unlikability to them. Just a little, though. They're not Duke. Let's be clear. They're not Duke
basketball.
There's
levels to this thing. It's not the Yankees.
Yes.
It's not Dallas Cowboys
level. But it's funny. Alabama was like that. They were the dominant. I don't remember a lot of people disliking Alabama. There's something special about Ohio State.
Okay. I didn't see it. 855-212-4227. But you're welcome to weigh in. We also will get into the coaching cycle that heated up yesterday, where the Chicago Bears reportedly found their man, and it is Lions offensive coordinator Ben Johnson. And so now he gets paired with Caleb Williams. However, we had to get to this because in some ways I felt a little bad for this person. The mayor of Philadelphia, Perloff, your hometown, Her name is Sherelle Parker. And I don't know where this was, EJ. This was at some kind of rally?
I assume so. I also don't know where it was.
Okay. Out in public, talking to Eagles fans, and if you want to get people in Philadelphia on your side, you got to hit them with the Eagles chant. Here is the mayor of Philly.
Let me hear you all say, E-L-E-S-E-S, Eagles! Let's go, Birds!
That's not how you spell it.
E-A-G-L-E-S, Eagles!
There you go.
Let me hear you all say, E-L-E-S-E-S, Eagles!
Let's get a couple things
Let's
clear.
Go, Birds!
Let's go, Birds. The Let's Go Birds at the end. Just so much confidence.
There's two things. That's fine. Misspelling will actually earn you some respect amongst Philadelphia fans. Like, oh, okay, she's like us. If you mispronounce a player's name, like Thomas Menino, the mayor of Boston, used to famously do, that's bad. Like, I think misspelling, like, oh, okay, this is one of us, you know?
Let's go, Bird!
E-L-G-S-E-S.
Elgles?
I mean, not even close. But as somebody who finds it hard to do math, like, in front of people or kind of quickly, if I didn't extend some grace to myself, I find it when I'm put under the gun and I've got to do like a math problem, I get a little nervous. Maybe some people get nervous when they have to spell out loud.
E-L-D.
No?
I can't give this a pass. This
Let's go, Birds!
Let's go, Birds.
That's the only word you have to know how to spell in Philadelphia. Literally the only one. I think if you didn't know how to spell any of the words, you'd be fine. And this is the one you can't do?
Maybe she just got nervous, although she is a politician, so you speak for a living.
Yeah, she's a mayor.
Yeah.
Do you guys remember when Martha Coakley, she was running for Massachusetts governor, and she screwed up a Yankee and Red Sox player?
Uh-oh.
And I think she lost the election almost single-handedly because of that.
I'm telling
Let's
you.
Let's go, Bird!
This is going to be our sports consulting agency that I want to start for politicians. I'm going to leave you guys and become a millionaire.
Yeah. But that being said, like, don't they assume, like, yeah, she's like us. She was hammered. I mean, you sometimes.
She called Curt Schilling a Yankee fan.
Martha Coakley did.
Yeah, Martha Coakley.
Yeah. This is bad, but it's not like, this is not egregious. Again, I think they might embrace that. I mean, she is like in name the mayor, right? The real mayor is that guy who dances after the wins for the Eagles.
What's the guy wearing the big hat? I thought Dom was the mayor. Yeah, Big Dom.
Big, no, I think they're co-mayors. No, Big Dom has been replaced by that guy with the big hat who dances on TikTok after the wins.
Go Bird!
What's his name? It's a great name, too.
Well, I've also, this was reminding me of a time, and I feel bad because I'm friends with him, and he's awesome, and he's a very smart guy. My pal Tony Richardson, who, when he was announcing a Jets draft pick at the draft in Chicago many years ago, made this error.
The New York J-E-T-E Jets select Ardarius Stewart, receiver, Alabama.
And that pick went about as well as Tony spelling the Jets.
Yeah, no chance, Ardarius Stewart. None after that.
It's a four-letter word.
I love Tony. He's very smart. I think you just get, you're nervous in the moment, you know?
He's a player. I almost feel like for some reason Like you
and
might
he was a fullback.
Yeah, you might not
Tony
really,
was a
you
tough
might not,
dude.
Yeah, you might not really care what's happening in the stands. I almost could forgive that more than like the mayor. I feel like if you're a Philadelphia mayor, that should be like one of like the three things you should like immediately learn. Like you gotta know the Eagles chant. You gotta know which Philly cheesesteak you like.
Yeah.
Like these are if you don't know these things. Like
you're
off
fraud.
Rip, you're yeah. you're done.
Go hold on. Bird,
Perloff. You said that she's just like she's so hammered that she missed out. Imagine how drunk you have to be to misspell the word Eagles.
Yeah,
it's not the word onomatopoeia.
I get that.
I think halfway through G, she realizes her mistake too. There's like a quick dip in her confidence where she's like, "Oh, that was supposed
absolutely.
To be an A."
That
second L, she's like, oh, wait, I shouldn't have said L again.
Go, Bird!
Throw in another L, yeah.
Oh, man.
How'd that pick work out for the Jets, by the way? He was really good, right?
Yeah.
Oh,
still
yeah.
there.
Awesome.
Yeah.
It was doomed. It was never going to happen.
Yeah, because he was a Jets drafted by the receiver. A receiver drafted by the Jets.
There you go.
He was a J-E-T-E, according to Tony. Oh, I love Tony. Hopefully we'll see him in New Orleans too.
Let's go, Birds!
Let's go, Birds! Keith's in California. I'm glad that Bogish is here. Perloff's here. They both have pet tortoises. I thought that'd be boring. Keith is here to tell me I'm wrong.
Yes, I've had my one tortoise for almost 30 years now, and my second one for about 10. And they are very personable. You hop in their cage, and they come chasing you around. They want you to feed them, and They're a lot of fun. Mine are actually really spoiled because they got an outdoor enclosure, and they hibernate. Mine hibernate from about October till, depending on when spring's coming, around April.
I know guys, Keith, who put their tortoises in the backyard. They just in the winter in New York City and just leave them there and come back and get them in March. Is that what you do?
Yeah. They say that as long as they don't get wet. They can, because they'll catch pneumonia, but if as long as they stay dry, they'll sleep. I mean, it's amazing.
Tortoise can't
I know a guy in Brooklyn, he just sticks him out in the backyard in like around Halloween and comes back around Easter.
In what, though?
In the yard. Just like he could dig into a little bit of dirt and he's gone. For the
I'm sorry, Keith. Well, I'm glad you're having fun with your tortoises. Very personable, like a reptile. I don't know, but
you're such a hater, man.
He gets pneumonia, and I was just thinking of a tortoise like a blanket wrapped around him with like a thermometer sticking out of their mouth, watching, you know, The Sopranos on Netflix or something.
Or the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Right. What would a tortoise binge? National Geographic something, Planet Earth. I didn't know a tortoise could get pneumonia.
Yeah. Yes.
I didn't know that either, but...
Well, we were warned about respiratory infections, so make sure, if you ever see it, like, what looks like gasping for air, that's not a good sign.
How would you even know?
Because it's, like, literally, like, opening up its mouth and, like,
you know,
it looks like a yawn.
Wait, by the way, you know the big thing with tortoises, they carry a lot of diseases, so they have salmonella all over their body.
Like, yeah, you gotta wash your hands after
you gotta wash your hands. Like, that's one thing, like, you
sounds
know
like something you'd want in your kitchen.
You definitely don't want to wander them around the house. They're little disease machines.
Awesome. Definitely want that around your kids.
Yeah, but trust me, Maggie, you have a young son. You talk to dog owners about how much work that is. Tortoise way
I grew
easier.
Up with a dog. I know how much work
it is. Well, yeah, but you're not a parent and a dog. You grew up with a dog. You have no idea what actually goes into raising a dog because you grew up with one. Trust me, like, it's different.
Well, it turns out I think my kid's a cat person, which is odd. Because my husband and I are not cat people
Boo
at
that
all.
Kid.
I know. It's tough to come to grips with. He's
cats
obsessed.
Are cool, too.
I know.
Okay.
I'm worried about him.
The only cat that's cool is Carl Anthony Towns.
There you go.
Oh, yeah, baby. Worst.
Manny with the one-liner today.
Thank you very much.
Would you say Jameson Williams was a gamble?
Oh, yeah. That was a big gamble. Didn't work out.
Bogish, let's get to some headlines. And I do want to get to these calls. You guys want to talk about Ohio State being unlikable, about the Philadelphia mayor misspelling the Eagles? Just the word.
Let's go, Bird!
Speaking of Ohio State, weird beard, good football coach Ryan Day taking Ohio State back to the top of the sport, their coronation, last night's 34-23 win over Notre Dame in Atlanta.
You just never know what's in your path along the way, but this game can give you the highest of highs and the lowest of lows. It can take you to your knees some days as a player and as a coach. And I've been there before.
He was there most recently when his team was embarrassed at home by Michigan, but the Buckeyes haven't lost since, racing to a 31-7 lead on the Irish last night before sweating out the final moments. It's the Buckeyes' first national title since 2014. Notre Dame still hasn't won since 88. Their head coach, Marcus Freeman.
There's not many words to say when everybody's hurting. I'm just proud of them. I'm proud of what they've done. I'm proud of who they are, the way they represent themselves, and it's just an honor to be on this journey with him.
So again, his team was down 31-7 last night. They got a pair of touchdowns and two-point conversions to make this a one-possession game in the fourth quarter. But then they allowed a 56-yard pass to Jeremiah Smith on 3rd and 11. That led to Ohio State's put-away field goal in the final minute. To Woody Johnson, thanks for everything, Lance Newmark. Lance is apparently... Anyone going to take that one? No? Is that too? Is that above you guys?
They've never seen
what?
That movie.
Nope.
Okay. I didn't know what you were just talking about.
Wait, say it again.
To Woody Johnson, thanks for everything. Love, Lance Newmark.
To be fair, nothing. I've never seen that movie either. Is a Patrick like Swayze vehicle.
To Wong Fu, thanks for everything. Love, Julie Newmar.
Julie Newmar, right.
Yeah, because that was the first name for some reason that popped into my head when I met Lance Newmark yesterday.
It. That's a deep cut.
Who the hell are these I think it's an unhealthy
English,
cut.
What was that? There was a movie about them dressing in drag, right?
And like driving cross country.
I never saw it.
No, but like in their mid-90s, it was controversial because of the topic. And I think they're like it just ended up being a very pop culture-y thing.
Yeah, it's a silly title.
Yes, it is. And Lance Newmark might be the Jets' new GM by the end of today. He and
it's
Lions.
A stretch, folks.
That's fine. It's a Tuesday. Lions D coordinator Aaron Glenn get their second interviews in Jersey today. Both expected to be hired, barring a last-minute snag. Newmark spent 2 decades in Detroit before serving as the Commanders' assistant GM this season. The Bears have hired Lions OC Ben Johnson for their top job, and the Jaguars begin the second round of their interviews tomorrow with Bucks OC Liam Cohen. Raiders D coordinator Patrick Graham goes on Thursday, and former Jets head coach Robert Saleh on Friday. NBA last night, the Bulls snapped their 5-game skid, 112-99 at the Clippers. Zach LaVine scored 35, and the Pelicans outlasted the Jazz 123-119 in overtime after trailing by 25 early. That is the largest comeback in team history. Novak Djokovic rallying for a 2-sets-to-1 lead right now on Carlos Alcaraz in their Aussie Open quarterfinal. And our beloved Connor McDavid misbehaved Saturday in Vancouver, cross-checking a Canuck in the head. McDavid given a 3-game suspension for that yesterday, as was Vancouver defenseman Tyler Myers for the same offense in that same game. Both these guys will miss the rematch on Thursday night. Guys, back to you.
I get. So he went up 2-1. That is shocking.
Yeah.
So
and he's leading the 4th set right now. I'm watching it.
That is crazy. I assume like there's no way he had enough left to win another one, but that would be bananas.
And today he lost the 1st set, took a medical timeout.
When you came in the first hour, I thought that was, oh, yeah, this is over.
Yeah, took a medical timeout, came out, and has been superior for 2 sets. Yeah.
Sure, Maggie used to use those at competitive tennis. Medical timeout. It's called change the momentum timeout.
Yep.
It's the oldest trick in the book. 855-212-4227. See you guys on the phones. You want to talk about Ohio State not being likable? Sounds a little sour grapes by you guys. The day after they win the national title, all of a sudden, here come all the haters. And also, more politicians misspelling team names. What? Oh, we got a lot to do. Don't move. It's M&P.
Let's go, Bird!
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Congratulations, Ohio State. Got the national championship, but it doesn't look like anyone's too happy about it, except for Ohio State fans. No one was impressed by this, I guess, except for me. I really thought they were impressive in their run. First ever 12-team college football playoff, left for dead after Michigan, and now they're at the top of the podium. Dan is in Northern California. Dan, you think it's Ohio State's reputation that makes people root against them?
Absolutely. I was born in Columbus, even though I live in Northern California now. And after what I say, if somebody wants to hate on me and call in and say, oh, about Dan, oh, he's all this, you know, and whatever. It's three little letters, like I told the call screener, P-H-E. I mean, what other university puts it out there? The Ohio State mm-hmm. University. Yeah, you could say the Crimson Tide, you could say the Texas Longhorns, but it's not the emphasis like that. And I think that just kind of puts it on them. Plus, the fans, there's no greater football fans than in Ohio and Texas. They're both football crazy states for high school and college, and you guys probably already know that.
Yeah, yeah. But I think that makes people respect them more, Dan. And Dan, thank you for the phone call. EJ had said that also. The fact that
makes people respect them because they go on Monday Night Football and say, I'm from the Ohio State University. What are you talking about?
No. I respect that they love high school football so much that there's this culture of loving. But I think that's true in California. I think it's true in Florida. I think it's true in New Jersey. I think it's true. There's a lot of places that love college,
but he's
high
saying,
school football.
I mean, like, there's no other school except maybe you're the U who goes on to Monday Night Football and the player interaction says, I'm from the Ohio State University. It's totally annoying.
So the NFL players claiming the university.
And anybody else associated with the university claiming the THE, of course it's annoying.
Huh.
They're the favorites, too. Like, why would they not be annoying? Every favorite's annoying.
Let's go to David. David is in Dallas. But, yeah, this team, though, had to actually struggle quite a bit. David, what do you got, sir?
Yeah, one thing that I'll point out, the guy was just talking about the Longhorns. We spend money, and we spend it like, you know, like as if we're, as if it's going out of style. But Ohio State, not only did they spend money, they bragged about it. They basically said, we're buying a team. And they were already really good. It's a little bit Golden State Warriors, Miami Heat feeling.
Oh, super team. You know, David, I get that, but can I just counter and say one thing? Everyone buys a team now. That's college football. So you're going to hate on Ohio State because they did it better than everyone this year? That's like, don't hate the player, hate the game.
I think Ohio State had spent more money than any team had ever spent. Nobody had ever spent money like Ohio State did coming this year. It was
okay.
You say everybody did. Like they're. It's
and what's
going to
happen next year?
Maybe
some other team's going to have it, and you're just going to hate on that team. What if it's SMU? We're going to hate SMU because they spend more money. Hate Texas A&M because they spent most money.
I'd be shocked. I mean, SMU will spend a lot if they get up to number one overall. That would be impressive, but. No, I definitely think the big spending teams are going to draw like the typical like anti-favorite behavior. And yeah, I think you should get used to this. If you buy your team, it's kind of be like how now everybody hated the Yankees for years. Now I have friends texting me saying like, can you stand the Dodgers? Like the Dodgers are now making people mad by overspending.
Okay,
too.
But I kind of feel like we're doing whack-a-mole here because I also hear fans who have rooted for Clemson calling in to saying, Dabo Swinney, what are you doing? You're not going into the transfer portal and our program is dying or something.
Right, those are Clemson fans.
They made the college football playoff. And no, Dabo Swinney gets criticism throughout the national media, at least, for not going into the transfer portal. So how do you want it here? You want guys just doing high schools? And I don't understand how you're going to get around not paying. Like, this is it now. This is the sport.
Well, it's just if you overspend everybody and have the most talented team and then find a way to lose two games during the regular season, people are going to criticize you. And then you go out because the Miami, like, there is no way. They're playing a Michigan team without a quarterback and no Jim Harbaugh and lost. Like, and they had a $20 million payroll and an advantage at pretty much every position, well, every offense position on the field. So, yeah, I mean, obviously, I think they're like a heavy favorite. And again, you say, like, no one had ever done this. They're the first.
Yeah.
The first $20 million team. So that was like...
Oh, I thought it meant the first, like, end going through the 12-team college football playoff. And to do it as an 8-seed.
Well, there's never been, like... Alabama, I think, was quietly doing it on the side. But this is the first, like, high spending team we've ever seen. So I understand. People are like, okay, they won, but would they have done it without the money? And the answer is obviously...
Okay, but...
No.
Okay, but see, here's the thing about that. I watched Ohio State do this pre-NIL, and now I've watched them doing it post-NIL.
Did you see Ryan Day do it pre-NIL?
Well, but whatever. He now has the same amount of titles as Urban Meyer did and Jim Tressel did. And I was told that Ryan Day is not the secret sauce here. The program recruits.
Yeah.
So, like, they've done it in different eras. How is that bad? How does that mean that they're just some front-running team that buys all their talent? They have a football-rich state. They keep dudes in-state. This team...
They keep dudes in-state. I mean...
Guys who grow up there go there. That's what I'm talking about. And they found a way to win when they were at the bottom of the bottom and losing their big rival, losing to their big rival. Like, shouldn't that be celebrated? I don't understand why it's a knock.
Who are their, this is actually ignorance, like, who are their players from Ohio?
How many kids from Ohio are...
I think Captain Jack is, I believe.
Jack Sawyer.
Sawyer, I was thinking, he like, he's the only non-Uber talent there. He's got to be an Ohio kid.
No, that he had a Ohio State bib on or something when he was, you know, 6 months old.
I think, like, they're great players through the years. I'm like, oh, my God, they're mostly California, a lot of Texas, some Florida. That's how I jumped to mind, but... They definitely got this Miami connection going now that I think is going to be one of the reasons they're going to be good.
Bane of my existence.
855-212-4227 is Ohio State. Unlikable. People dunking on them the day after they won the national championship. You guys sound like sour grapes. Thank you, Perloff.
Let's go, Birds!